I was asked by Brother Henry Clausen if I'd be willing to share a bit of a meditation for this morning, to which I agreed, as the ministerial is at the church in West Lorne today. May God's grace and direction be there with them today as they endeavor to have their first church service. Thank you, Brother Henry, for the first song that you just picked. Verse 3, take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. And that's my prayer this morning. So I was praying for God to put something in my heart to share for this morning. So I thought about one thing that's meaningful in my life that God has blessed me with. I thought of many things, but one thing stood out, and that's the rest that only God can give. I'd like to share a little bit of my life. Before I was born again, I didn't know God. I didn't know even believe he could forgive me for all my past sins. I lived my life in regret and was often fearful when I thought of dying. So I would continue in my sins to try to cover up the hopelessness. You could say I didn't have any rest in my heart. This unrest was a hard life. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Thankfully, the Lord did reveal to me that there was hope for me. And I'm thankful that he didn't give up on me. And he's done so much for me, brought so much into my life that I'm thankful for. And I want to, in turn, glorify his name wherever he calls me to go and whatever he calls me to do. Very grateful. Let's read. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The question is, who were the people who were heavy laden and burdened? It was Israel who was burdened under the heavy yoke of the law. The laws at that time were overwhelming and hard for the people to obey and keep up with. The law demanded what people were unable to give. But Israel was under the law, and the people were laboring under the law, but the Pharisees seemed to keep adding and heaping more laws and rules onto the people. They could never be good enough. The people seemed to have this sense of failure and hopelessness. And that's how I can kind of compare how my life was before I found Christ, this hopelessness and burden that I carried. And this is just a heavy burden for anyone to carry. So when Jesus comes into the picture, he basically tells the hurting people to come to him. All those who labor, meaning the people who are overworked but never get any victory in their lives. And he says, all those who are heavy laden, which means heavy loaded or weighed down by the law that they were under. So Jesus was giving the people hope in his rest. Well, he tells us to take his yoke upon us too. When we take his yoke upon us, he also tells us to learn from him. He says, I am meek and lowly in heart, which is quiet, gentle, long-suffering, humble, compassionate. That's something I didn't know about Jesus before I was born again, that he was this compassionate person and long-suffering. And I'm thankful that he is. And I think so many people don't know this about Jesus being this way. Then he says, and I will give you rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a blessing. This passage has blessed me a lot over the years. And there's so much in there that we can take out and learn from if we take the time. The next thing I'd like to share is there's two kinds of rests. The first rest is sitting in your easy chair after work, taking a nap. It's a physical rest that our bodies need to recuperate. Then there's a spiritual rest, which takes place, in my experience, which takes place after you've repented of your sins and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior. This rest takes place when our faith is there also, that we believe. When we believe that God has in fact forgiven you and blotted out your sin. After I was born again, there were times I wasn't sure. I had to exercise my faith in that and just continually pray, Lord, give me a faith and belief that you did forgive me and that I can have rest in that. I'd like to turn to Acts 3, verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. God promises to blot out our sins. One thing I've noticed in reading in Scripture is in the Old Testament, God often covered the sins. But in the New Covenant, he blots them out. And that really blessed me when I learned about that. They no longer existed. But we must repent, which means turn from our sins and be converted, as the verse says. We must also have faith and really believe that God forgives us our sins and pray that God will strengthen your faith in that, and that you can have that rest that only God provides, a peace that the world cannot offer. And I learned again that we need to exercise that faith. There's times where we question it or wonder, were we forgiven or not? So let's stay in prayer and just cry out to God, and he will be faithful and provide you with the assurance that you are safe and forgiven and you can enjoy the rest that he provides. We can't live in self-condemnation, which happens far too often. The spiritual rest I have experienced and currently am experiencing is because I believed God to be faithful and he always keeps his word. So often we lose sight of that God keeps his word. And he hasn't failed me yet. He's been faithful in my life even before I gave my life to him. Let us be faithful also and walk in his ways. It doesn't mean I'm perfect and never fail. No, there's times I get discouraged and even times I doubt it. But I don't give up. I go back to the yoke that Jesus provides for me. I have found that in the recent years, most times when I'm discouraged and doubt, it's because of my own selfish ways. When I didn't take enough time to spend with God and be in his word and have fellowship with him. A lack of that fellowship can lead to discouragement and doubt. I can testify to that. I encourage everyone here to seek a personal relationship with God. It's not just reading your Bible, your one passage, two chapters or one chapter a day, and then you've done your duty. It's a love letter to me. And when I view it that way, everything changes. It's such a beautiful thing. And I want to learn more of what God has to say to me. I encourage everyone here, and I know most of you are, if not all of you, have a relationship, a personal relationship with God. Let's stay faithful in that and grow in that. It's where I find my rest. It's where I find assurance and not look to ourselves, but to God, where he wants us to go, what he wants us to do. To just stop, I found throughout the day, throughout the week, and listen and hear what God has to say. You'll be amazed how often he can speak to you. When we fail to have a personal relationship with God, will inevitably lead to doubt and discouragement, even unbelief. Then we won't have that rest with that Jesus provides. I think of all the martyrs who were killed. They must have had rest and peace unimaginable. That it's unhuman. When you read these stories, it's only God can provide it. And it's a true testimony that it's real. These are real accounts, and I encourage everyone to read them. They can really change how you view how God works and his faithfulness. Turn with me to Acts 12, verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Here we can see how Apostle Peter was imprisoned, and they made sure he wasn't going to get away. And yeah, we can see that they put two soldiers on either side of him, and that place was secure. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. What spoke to me about this passage is how at peace Peter was here. The rest that he had, not just spiritual, but physical. He was in such a deep sleep, it seems the angel needed to smote him on the side. That's a double benefit of God's rest. When we rest in God and trust in His faithfulness, our physical rest improves. We can see it here in Peter's account. It's pretty amazing how God's rest drastically improves our physical rest. Our stomach isn't twisted and tight, and we're not unsure. Where our future will lead. I encourage anyone that has not yet received God's rest to reread Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. That chapter has blessed me so many times. God is a God of rest and restoration. I don't have any more to share. I know there's a lot more that the Bible speaks about God's rest. This is all I have for today. Thank you for listening. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for everyone here this morning that isn't yet in your rest, that you may draw them to you and give them rest from all the worry and stress of life. Give them the assurance and the peace that will set them free. May they trust in you instead of themselves. Lord, I also pray for the outreach and, of course, this congregation here. Lord, bless the rest of the service. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Good morning. May the Lord's blessings be with us here this morning. Before we proceed, can we pray? Precious Father in heaven, we bless you this morning and we thank you for your care for us. Thank you for your word and how you speak to us today. In different ways, you speak to us through Jesus Christ, who came and through your word. And I pray you'd help our eyes to be open to hear what your word has to say. Help us to be real and honest and open before you. In Jesus' name, amen. We all know the verse that talks about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Very easy to say those words. but it's often a lot harder to live those words. And very often we would maybe say those words a bit different. Seek ye first my kingdom here on this earth. Seek ye first a good name here on this earth. Seek ye first some pleasure, some joy that we have on this earth. We live that way, right? We wouldn't want to admit it, but if you'd look at how we live our lives, we would maybe live it out a bit different than what God said we should. And God knows our hearts. He can see what we love, what we lift up first. And he really cares about us. And he would love for us to have the best. A brother that I really appreciate, he had something posted about prayer that really stuck out to me, and I was blessed. I figured I would share that with everyone here this morning, and maybe that would help us even to look at the scripture in a new light. Since prayer is continuing the conversation with God, if we don't connect prayer to our Bible reading, we are abruptly and rudely ending the conversation. Imagine how rude it would be for someone to pour out their heart to you, give you the greatest news or wisdom you've ever heard, and you just walk away. How rude. Bible reading with zero response to God is rude. In regular conversation with others, we respond with amazement, interest, thanksgiving, celebration, rejoicing. How do we respond when God talks to us through his word? When we read God's word, God is talking. He's speaking and communicating to us. He wrote this on purpose for us, and he's talking to us. Are we taking it that seriously? Let's open our Bibles to the book of John. I'm going to read a few verses in chapter 2 at the end, and then we'll start with chapter 3. So starting from John chapter 2, verses 23 to the end of the chapter. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So somebody might have said, hey, he's got a good name. This is a good man. Jesus didn't need that. He knew what was in the heart of man. Now remember, God is communicating to us. God knows what is in our hearts this morning. Thank you, God, for considering us. Now, considering that, let's go to chapter 3. Here was a man that came to Jesus. He was of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So he had a name before men. He had a tag on him, Pharisee, ruler of the Jews. So he would have had also a testimony from men. Men could have said, look at him, he's an important person. Jesus knew that. God knew that. But that did not make a difference to Jesus what kind of name a person had. So the same came to Jesus by night. Why did he come at night? Does anybody have a suggestion? He was afraid. What are other people going to say? What are other people going to think? Now, we were in Bolivia for some time. And many times if we got visitors, they came at night. And the way they worked it out, they left when it was dark. They left home with their horses and buggies. They left home when it was dark. And so people could maybe hear, some people, they were very shrewd. They could hear the horse and they'd say, ah, this is so-and-so that's driving by. But they didn't know where they were going, maybe going a different direction than usual, but they couldn't say. And they usually didn't follow them. So they would leave and they didn't know. And they would come to our house. And we would visit. And many times there was a hunger, a spiritual hunger, but a spiritual hunger they didn't want other people to know about. Fear of man, right? That's a big issue. It was back then and it is today. We're very concerned about what people think. So we know, listen to this. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now we would say, he's come far. He's a Pharisee. And he's admitting that Jesus is a teacher come from God. They didn't like to do that during the day. But here at night, when nobody was watching, none of the other men were around, he admitted that we know that you are come from God. And what would we do? Here's an important person that acknowledges that the message that you have, the things that you're teaching, they're from God. We might feel pretty good that finally, you know, he's humbling himself. Finally, we're getting somewhere. But Jesus, he knew the heart of Nicodemus. So he was starting to come, yes. But what does Jesus say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, what does that mean, born again? He hadn't heard that before. Remember, he's a religious leader of the people. But he didn't know what born again was. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Where born when he is old, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, I don't think he liked these words very much. This was new territory for him. Remember, he was a religious ruler. Among the Jews, he was a Pharisee. He had good doctrine. Like, this sounds like I have to start all over. Whatever I had for a name, whatever I had for a position among men, I got to kind of throw that out the door. And now here I have to like humble myself and become a novice and relearn everything. Like start from scratch, like a little child. That's doesn't sound very good. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can it be that I humble myself like that? How can it be? Like, I've learned a lot of things that doesn't seem to match up with what I know. And Jesus answered and said, art thou a master in Israel? And knowest thou not these things? So you're a teacher, and these are the most basic things. Ye must be born again. And you don't know these things? That must not make you feel very good if you're a teacher and Jesus says, well, this is what you need to know. And I don't know anything about that. We speak what we do know, and testify what we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. We don't need to know a lot. But what we need to do is receive what God teaches us. If God teaches us a truth, what are we doing with it? What am I doing with the truth that God gives me every day? Sometimes it's a thought that God puts in my mind at work. Sometimes it is through my reading in the morning. But it's a different type of thought. It's a different thing that God is speaking to our conscience. But what do we do with those thoughts? It's not really important. Maybe we don't do that in our church. The preacher's not here. He can't see. What do we do with what God is teaching us? The thing is, we're talking about being born again. We're talking about the Holy Spirit leading our lives. This is not something we can muster up in and out of ourselves. This is not some schooling that we go to, and once we've gotten this schooling, now we're a Christian, and now we're a religious leader, and we can be important. This is something we can't even pinpoint it. The wind blows where it wants. We know that it's windy, but we're not sure where it's going. Or we can see the direction it's going right now, but it might change any minute. God's Spirit moves in a different way. Here it says, the wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So we're vulnerable. We need the Lord Jesus Christ to teach us by his Holy Spirit. This is not something we can muster up in and out of ourselves. And it's hard because we want to be good. We want to be strong. We want to be able to have it made. We want to be able to have control of our lives. But we can't. We're weak. And once we acknowledge that, then we need to go to the one who does know, the one who does have control, the one who is strong, and the one who knows what we actually need, the one who knows what's in our heart, the one who knows what we need and says the truth, even if it hurts, who does not hold back because he knows what's in the heart of man. He does not hold it back. And then when we receive it, then we can grow. And then all of a sudden life can spring forth. The seed can grow and life can come out of that. And then we can bear fruit. It's when Jesus Christ works in our hearts and in our lives. And once we say, yes, Lord. Oh, what I had before? Oh, that was all nothing? Okay. I'm willing for that because I want something. Lord, what then? We receive the witness of Jesus Christ, right? Here, verse 12. Nicodemus, he was trying to gather, he was trying to understand these things, but it was hard for him. If I have told you earthly things, verse 12 in chapter 3, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Many people want to figure it out. And they step back and they would like to get saved, they would like to be Christians, but they want to figure everything out first. And they're not willing to just put it to rest and lay it down and give it into the hands of Jesus Christ, unto whom we commend our souls, right? They're not willing to lay it down and trust that God can keep us. But we can't understand it. This is not a physical thing. Even the physical things are complicated. But once we lay it down, then all of a sudden, with new eyes, we can look at it. With spiritual eyes, we can look at it, and we can understand in a new way. Verse 13 here says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So Jesus Christ, he's the one that came. And walking in the form of flesh, he was showing, revealing the spiritual life. He was revealing what God's heart was for man. What do we do when God is revealing to us his plan? What do we do with it? Do we receive it? Verse 14. So Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I'm not sure if this was all part of the conversation with Nicodemus, but John is now shifting and he's teaching us. And really it's God is looking and wanting to teach us. So Moses, what was he doing with a serpent? So we know the story, and if we don't, I'll explain a little. There were snakes. There was a punishment from God on the children of Israel because they had sinned. They did not put their trust in what God was saying, and they complained different times. And when they were up to the promised land, they complained and said, we're not good enough. The spies or the giants are in the land, and we're just going to become food for them. And they did not trust God. And so they had to go back to the wilderness. And shortly after, in the wilderness, God sent poisonous snakes. A lot of them. So much so that, I mean, I think everyone was vulnerable. They couldn't go anywhere without getting bit by these snakes. And these snakes were deadly. And they did not have any cure for this venom that got injected into them. So people were dying left and right. And it came before Moses. And Moses talked to God. And they made a brazen serpent, put it on a pole. How ridiculous does it sound? The cure for this snake bite was to look at that serpent. It seems ridiculous. And I'm sure some people, because it was so ridiculous, they didn't even come and look. What's that going to do? Look at a snake and then I'm supposed to be healed. That's the whole reason why I'm suffering here is because of a snake. And you say, I'm going to get healed if I look at the snake. And many didn't, I'm sure. Because there was a lack of faith. But the wonder is that what God says, it works. And some did. They looked at the snake. Okay, I'll look at it. And they were healed. The venom did not kill them, but rather they got better. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. He was put on a pole too, right? Not because he had done anything wrong. He was put on that pole because we had done wrong. And he was put there as a solution for our sin problem, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So enough of our badges, our good names. Let it be Pharisee, let it be religious leader, let it be cool, let it be important, let it be somebody. Oh, there's somebody. Whether it be a good image, somebody that people covet after, all those things have to go. Those things don't save. Those things, on the last day, they will be a hindrance to us. But to lay those things down and to, in desperation because of our sin problem, right? We look unto Jesus Christ who set up on the pole for us. And we find salvation, eternal life through Jesus Christ alone. We lose our good name, might lose our good friends that we had. We lose our ego because you have to start learning all fresh again. But we have eternal life. And all of a sudden, God looks at us different than he did before, right? All of a sudden, God looks down, hey, my son. All of a sudden, the gates of heaven are open for us. Whereas they were shut and sealed before. But now, we can go to bed and, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, we might have done different things that we remember. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry for that. But thank you for sending Jesus Christ. And we go to bed with a clean conscience. We sleep soundly. Wake up refreshed in the morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, again. And we're ready for a new day. We look at his scriptures and, wow, he's thinking about me. He cares about me. He knows what's in my heart. And I want to serve him, and he knows that too. And, oh, that, yeah, that's right, I do have a problem with that. That's uncomfortable, Lord. I really do like this thing, though. But, no, I want the Lord Jesus, right? And I'll be willing to lay it down. Yes, Lord. And God shows us, reveals us different things in his word. And it's a living word. And we take it to heart. We take it by prayer. And we respond to God. And we thank him while we're reading. We thank him when he shows us things. We thank him for his word. We thank him for brothers and sisters who are willing to share with us, who are concerned. We thank the Lord for reality and for a relationship that's just starting now. That's going to get better as we go. These are some things that the Lord has been teaching me, showing me. And I just thought of Nicodemus here. I read about him, and I just, again, this thing that the brother had shared about prayer, and while we read God's word, it just made a difference. Somehow it opened up the scripture in a different way. Just having that mindset that God is speaking to me now. He's talking to me right as I'm reading here. What's he saying? It made a difference. And it was a blessing. And I think it is good for us to remind ourselves that God is talking to us. Let's take it seriously. Let us learn. Let us grow. And let us share what God is teaching us so that we can be all benefited by it. So may God's blessings be with you all.